Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Verses 25 to 42, Luke chapter 10. Lord, thank you for the many ways that your word guides us, empowers our prayer life, teaches us, molds us, shapes us, and helps us to simply follow you, to listen to your spirit, to be directed by your spirit, and many, many other things. Thank you for how that as we're taking time daily in your word is accomplishing so many good kingdom things. Empower us more and more to be the faithful students of your word, believers who read and meditate on your word daily, that you've called us to be. And Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. More and more empower us to be individually and collectively the praying church you've called us to be. And Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of obedience. Help us to not simply listen to your word. Help us to be hearers who are committed to being doers of your word as well. We thank you and we praise you for these privileges. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, in your scriptures it says that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And so Heavenly Father, thank you so much for hunting us down with your mercy and with your grace. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for coming and loving us when we were broken, when we are broken, whenever we're in trials and struggles. Thank you so much for following us with your love. And Heavenly Father, I ask that we could learn to grow in loving in response to the way you have loved us. Thank you so much for showing us your love through Jesus and help us to love our neighbor as ourselves, as you have loved us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Our fall Share-a-thon is just a few weeks away, and we're continuing to gather Share-a-thon's testimonies and stories. And we're inviting you to call us in and share your listener testimony as well. If the Lord has used American Family Radio in your life, if the Holy Spirit has reached through this broadcast, through this network, to minister grace, strength, encouragement to you, if you've maybe come to know the Lord through the ministry of the Holy Spirit working through the network, we're hoping to hear from you. We invite you to call us at this number, 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. Call and share for a minute or two, and you just might hear your testimony during our fall Share-a-thon. So we hope to hear from you. Again, that number, 1-877-876-8893. And if you're a consistent listener, you probably realize that on a pretty regular basis, we're challenging believers to start the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. And interesting to me that sometimes if a person hears that challenge for the first time, sometimes the initial reaction may be, that's so much. You know, 3 chapters really is not a whole lot at all. You can read your average 3 chapters in about 15 to 20 minutes. Doesn't take much time. But remember, that may literally be the most valuable time you spend all day because you're spending time directly with the Lord Jesus himself. He is the Word of God. And when you're reading the Word, he's spending time not just talking to you, but he's pouring grace, peace, power, strength, and encouragement into your heart and your mind. So our encouragement is that if you don't have that habit, today is a wonderful day to start that very fruitful habit in your life. And to every parent listening, can't overemphasize this truth that there's nothing that our children need more than the Word of God. So establishing the habit of having each of your children read 3 chapters aloud to you is so productive. It'll bless our children in so, so many ways. Sadly, we live in a world where many children are consuming toxic darkness by the gallon through the internet, through video games, through television, through so many negative sources out there. God's Word is pure light. There's nothing your child needs more than the powerful Word of God. So starting that habit of having each of them to read 3 chapters aloud to you daily is so productive. It's literally the greatest, one of, if not the greatest gifts you can give your children, having them to do that to you aloud. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I'm so busy, I just don't have a whole lot of time. Parents, let me be very clear. We make time for what's important. And our children are so important. So make the time. Make the time. It'll bless them so, so much. So we hope that you will consider starting those habits in your home today if you haven't already. We are very honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Pastor Kelly Payne. And she is a kingdom servant and pro-life warrior. And I'm going to let her further introduce herself. But Pastor Kelly, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Honored to have you on, and I was grateful to have met you by phone not too long ago and learn about some of the kingdom work that you do. So I want to invite you, Pastor Kelly, to take time now to further introduce yourself to our listeners and then invite you to share your own journey and where the Lord has called you to now and what he's called you to be doing in this season of your life as well.
Yes. So my name is Kelly Payne, and I live and work in Washington State. I am an ordained pastor and a pro-life warrior, and have been speaking and giving sermons on the issue of life for many years now. But it wasn't always on this side of the issue. At one time, I was very pro-abortion. In fact, I lived in Kansas when the Tiller Clinic was a center of controversy, and I don't know if your listeners know this, but in 1986, there was a bombing there. In 1991, there were mass protests, and I was amongst those women that went door-to-door advocating for abortion. So I was very, very pro-abortion at the time. Unfortunately, I was not Christian, of course, and I lived my life in a very worldly way. And after graduating from college, although I was fairly successful, lived and worked in Europe. I ended up working for the United Nations in Yugoslavia. And I don't know if you recall this, Pastor Joseph, but Yugoslavia was a genocide and a big war that took place there where the Serbians rose up and killed several Bosnians. Mm-hmm. With ethnic cleansing. There were mass graves that were cleaned up. I was part of the communications team as a contractor to the United Nations that helped clean all of that up. When I returned, I came back to Washington, D.C., to what appeared to be a very successful career, but I was very broken inside. Mm-hmm. And having been adopted myself, I was born of a mother who had been raped. I was determined to meet my birth family and met my birth family in Washington State. Unfortunately, was rejected by them, and I couldn't handle the emotions of that. And so in order to self-medicate, I turned to drugs. And I would say within a matter of months, it doesn't take very long for drugs to shatter your life. Mm-hmm. I not only became an addict, but I lost everything. Mm-hmm. And I was then a homeless addict. Now, as a child, I had had a children's Bible. And mm-hmm. I knew a little bit about Jesus. I knew something about who he was. I had pored over that book when I was a little girl, but mm-hmm. I didn't really understand his person. I didn't understand his character. Mm-hmm. But it was at that lowest point of my life that I remembered him. And I was in a jail cell. I'd just been arrested. I'd been arrested multiple times. I was not very good at being a drug addict. I was constantly getting arrested, which mm-hmm. I still believe to this day probably saved my life. But there I was mm-hmm. in the jail cell. And I was lying on a one-inch mat, and I was crying. And as I was crying, I remembered Jesus, and I asked him to help me. And I don't know what rose up in me to know that prayer was the answer. But something told me that was right. And I asked him to save me. And I can't say that anything magical happened in that moment that I could see with my eyes, but in my heart, I knew he was with me. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time, after I got released from jail, that I decided I was going to go to church. So as a homeless addict, I would walk to a church on a Sunday, and I would sit in a pew, and I would... because I was so desperate for somebody to talk to me, I would cry openly and wait for somebody to talk to me. And unfortunately, when you're a homeless addict, you're a little bit scary looking, and not a lot of people want to approach you. And unfortunately, I did that for months. I would go for months from church to church. And I think only one time did somebody talk to me.
I want to interrupt you for one moment. So you're saying you would go and cry, but no one came to talk to you?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Now, that is so sad. But go ahead.
I want to say something, Pastor Joseph. I don't consider that sad because I think God was leading me to a church that I ended up at mm-hmm. that had a discipleship program. Mm-hmm. So I think there was something spiritual going on. I don't blame the churches that didn't speak to me. I don't in any way, shape, or form think that that those people were wrong for not speaking to me. I think God was leading me to a church that had a Bible school and a discipleship program, which is where I ended up, and it's where I continued my journey in Christianity.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up on the other side. On the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for our listeners that the Lord would help them to have ears to hear all that the Lord wants to say to them, because the Lord's speaking to many, many people about different sides of your journey and your challenges, so we'll pick up there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Pastor Kelly Payne. She's a Kingdom Warrior and pro-life warrior as well. We'll be right back.
Blessed are the heavy hearted.
The music of Rebecca St. James with Kingdom Come. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Kelly Payne. She's a Kingdom servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a pro-life warrior as well. Pastor Kelly, as we begin, before you pick up with your story, would you pray for listeners to have ears to hear any and all that the Holy Spirit wants to say to them in their life through that which will be shared on the broadcast today?
Yes. So, Lord, we know that you created the hearing ear, and we ask that you would help us receive what you would have us receive today through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would be Christians that are tuned in to your will. Help us to be those that receive from you and then pour out your love on others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for our guest, Pastor Kelly. And thank you, Lord, for just the powerful testimony that she's sharing. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon every listener more and more. Help us, Lord, to walk in your love and mercy and compassion. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so many people who the world has beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. And you call us to be not like the priest, not like the Levite, but you call us to be like the Samaritan, someone full of your compassion, full of your mercy. And help us to know, Lord, that those folks are all over the place. Help us to not miss opportunities to be your hands and feet in a world that desperately needs to be touched by your love. And Lord, help every single listener to pray and strive to be that kind of servant, that kind of vessel. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Well,
Pastor Kelly, again, please do go right ahead, pick up where you left off. But before you do, I just want to say, too, I really want to encourage every listener to pray diligently for God to help you to be a faithful representative of him. Because, again, we need to know that parable that I did read at the beginning of the broadcast, it's a very telling parable. And every believer, I think, is wise to ask, Lord, how am I carrying myself? Am I the priest? Am I the Levite or am I the Good Samaritan? Our goal should be, and as Jesus clearly says, go and do likewise, not like the priest or the Levite, but like the Samaritan. So I would hope that many believers listening would be challenged to be that person that would go and sit by a Kelly and say, can I pray for you? What can I do? How can I help? As opposed to letting you sit there and cry by yourself, you know. But again, the Lord used it. But the fact is, we're to be a people of compassion. So I just wanted to share that. So, but please go right ahead and pick up where you left off.
It's so clearly the Holy Spirit that is the scripture that you picked this morning, that Good Samaritan, because that's exactly what I think about when I think about that portion of my story, is that God did eventually send me a Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. And it was the perfect moment for me. It was the perfect church, the perfect fit, the perfect discipleship program. Mm-hmm. And discipleship is so very, very important. I know that, Pastor Joseph, you and I discussed briefly about your desire to see more discipleship happening in the church, and that's also my desire. And it's really what rescued me. Like, that prayer rescued me, that prayer when I cried out in that jail cell. But what really rescued me was a church that had a program that I could step into where I could learn about Jesus and spend my time enveloped in his presence so that I could receive the healing I needed to be an instrument that he could then use for his service. And that's exactly what happened. So even though I went from church to church, and honestly, I did that for about 6-7 months, At the very end, I ended up at a church where I laid on the front steps weeping because I couldn't find anyone to speak to me. But it was shortly after that that I got to this church with this discipleship program. So I see the Lord's hand in all of it. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that homeless people can be a little bit scary to talk to. And sometimes they, because of their life circumstances and things that they've been through, can be intimidating. But we as Christians have to reach out. We have to be that hand that reaches out to those that need him so desperately. So in my journey, I got to this discipleship program. I then went on to a three-year Bible study, Bible school. I eventually became an ordained pastor. And through a lot of life circumstances, which were pretty miraculous, I ended up working for the state legislature and now work amongst some of the biggest leaders of the state and the nation. I'm a caucus staff member. I do a lot of writing on public policy. But I've always kept up my ministry and preaching at churches, not just sharing my testimony, but also talking about the value of life, because I think the hardest thing the Lord asked me to do was to live, to truly live for him, to live a life for him. And the value that he placed in me by going to the cross is the value that I hope to minister to others. And in working with women, I encountered so many that had either had an abortion or were contemplating an abortion. Even sitting in church pews. In fact, I have a young lady that I ministered to just last Christmas who was sitting in church when she made the decision to have an abortion, and so was the father of her baby. And those kinds of stories have incentivized me and really kind of given me a lot of fuel for the fire to share with as many as will hear the value that God places on life, not with condemnation, not with judgment, but just that you and your child have a value to the Lord, and that we as the church, as a family in Christ, also value you and will help you on this journey. So that has become a large part of my ministry. I speak at churches across the state that I live in about pro-life issues, about cultural issues, especially those cultural issues that face women. And I use my witness because it also shows people the value of life. Because if I can be valued by the Lord as a homeless meth addict, then how much more value can anybody else have? I mean, we are all in the family. And he loves us so much that he was willing to give his life for us. How much more should we do like the Good Samaritan for others?
That is so true, so true. Pastor Kelly, would you pray for listeners to really seek to have a heart that lives sacrificially for Jesus and passionately for Jesus? You know, we cannot faithfully serve Jesus being laid back. That's just not going to happen. We're called, as Romans 12 tells us, to be a living sacrifice. And the fact is, everyone, no matter what your area of calling or callings are, we're called to live sacrificially for Christ. And he was our great example. He gave his all, the greatest sacrifice in history, that of himself, to die on the cross and rise again from the dead. So would you pray for believers to grow in their understanding of the need to sacrificially run after Jesus?
Amen. I would love to pray for your listeners. And I pray a lot of scripture. I meditate on scripture. So I want to begin this prayer with Psalm 139, a portion of it. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows very well. My frame not hidden from you, when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance yet unformed. And in your book, all the days of my life are written, all fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. So, Lord, you have a plan for each and every one of us, and we are so precious in your sight. I pray that those that are listening to this broadcast today would be touched by your spirit, would be encouraged to share you with as many as would listen, would reach out as intercessors and cover those that are naked in prayer and help them to know your love, rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, that they would be your witness to a world that so desperately needs you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Kelly, I wanted to ask if you would touch on this too. You shared how that, again, there are just so many different sides to your journey and your story that are very powerful and that probably speak to many different listeners in different ways. But you shared how that when you found your birth family, that they rejected you. And that was very, very painful. And yet, you know, family rejection in some capacity or another can be a source of pain for so many people, and yours may be exceptionally so in some unique ways, but yet lots of people deal with pain like that for different reasons. Would you share any other thoughts that come to your mind about that? And I want to ask you to pray for those persons that might be dealing with that kind of pain as well.
Sure. So I have kind of an unusual story about that because as I was first starting this Christian journey, and I was really praying a lot of scripture. I felt the Lord tell me to memorize and pray Matthew chapter 1. And I did. I memorized all of it. And if you know Matthew chapter 1, that's where all the names, all the lineage of Jesus Christ. And to this day, I have all those names memorized, and I pray them often. But it was after months of praying that the Lord revealed to me why he had me praying that. Because, you see, before I became Christian, I was desperate for family. I had been rejected by my birth family. I had moved all the way from Washington, D.C. to Washington State only to have them reject me. And the family that had adopted me, unfortunately, I wish I had a really great story about that, but they, too, had a lot of dysfunction and weren't real happy about having an adopted child in their family. Not a happy circumstance for me. So I always thought family was the answer. This is where I was before Jesus. But when I became Christian and I prayed Matthew chapter 1, it was with tears in my eyes as I prayed that the Lord said to me, I am your family. You're not rejected by me. I am in the family of God. And this is an amazing family to be in. Mm-hmm. These people sitting in church are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I was given this gift from God of this deep, deep awareness that the church is my family. And that all came from the pain of being rejected. Mm-hmm. And I know in Scripture God places us in families, and he's done that for me. I'm now married. I married a wonderful Christian man. I have a wonderful Christian family. In fact, I just met with all of my nieces and nephews. The woman that reached out to me that was the Good Samaritan in my life when I finally got to that church with discipleship became my sister in Christ, and she shares her family with me, and I have tons of grandchildren and nieces and nephews. So I want to say to anybody who's listening that is struggling in this area, if you've ever felt alone, if you've ever felt like you didn't have family or nobody cared for you, Jesus cares for you. And he is the most powerful family you could ever hope for. And our family is incredibly remarkable. We have grandmothers like Sarah and Rahab and Ruth and Mary, and our DNA is the lineage of Jesus Christ. And from the very beginning, all of those names that are in chapter 1, those are ours, and we can draw on an inheritance from them. So anybody who's listening who's felt alone, call on Jesus, and I really encourage you to find your center in his family, in the family that we belong to in Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Would you pray for listeners, whatever's on your heart to pray for listeners with regards to that matter?
Amen. So, Lord, I thank you that you are our family, and that even in those moments, I think in the church, we can sometimes forget how powerful our family really is. In fact, even Joseph, the husband of Mary, had to be reminded when you said to him, Joseph, son of David, in Matthew. It was because he needed to be powerfully reminded of who his family was, of who his identity is. So, Lord, if anybody is out there listening right now that needs a touch from you because they've been hurt or maybe rejected by family, I pray that you would come in those spaces and bring your healing and bring a strong revelation of this family in Christ, a family that produced the midwives that feared God and didn't do as the king of Egypt commanded them, a family that produced the parents of Moses who hid their newborn son, a family that comes together to rescue the lost, to do those things that you call them to do, to be a family of life for this generation. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, I too thank you and I praise you, Father, for, again, Pastor Kelly. And thank you for any and everyone else that's part of our listening family who may have, again, been struggling with that kind of pain in their lives more and more. Your Holy Spirit is healing, Lord. Flood them with your Spirit and minister to them mind, body, and spirit according to your perfect will today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our phone guest today is Pastor Kelly Payne. She's a kingdom warrior and pro-life warrior. We'll be right back. Planet Shakers with Anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Kelly Payne. She's a kingdom warrior and a pro-life warrior as well. Father, again, we thank you for Pastor Kelly. And thank you, Lord, for many believers who are really seeking to simply love you back in view of how you've wonderfully saved us and called us and placed an anointing on our lives to be witnesses for you wherever you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, to grow in our understanding of the fact that the most exciting and fulfilling life any of us can live is a life where we fully place ourselves in your hands and live a yes, Lord, attitude, willing to do whatever you're calling us to do, knowing that that's what we're here for. Thank you for the privilege and the honor and the blessing of being followers of you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Kelly, in this last segment, you were sharing some about the pro-life work that you do. I want to invite you to share further about some of that work.
Thank you. So my full-time job is with the legislature, actually what incentivized me to really get involved in the pro-life movement was a lot of the bills that I saw that were moving to close pregnancy crisis centers. And most importantly, some laws that were trying to force the churches to come into agreement with abortion. Specifically in 2018, there was a bill that would have forced churches to cover abortion services in their insurance plan. And eventually that bill passed. And when that bill was being debated on the House floor, it was 2 or 3 in the morning, which is usually the time they bring out controversial bills because they're hoping everybody's asleep when they pass such egregious bills. And this bill, of course, would have forced churches, or does force churches, to cover abortion in their insurance plans. And I saw powerful testimony from a male representative who, in his youth, his girlfriend had gotten pregnant. He took her to an abortion clinic, and she had chosen to have an abortion. She went through with the abortion, and a few weeks later discovered she was still pregnant. So what they found out is she had been pregnant with twins, and eventually she gave birth to their son. But he had always thought over the years what happened to that second baby if he had not chosen with his girlfriend to have that abortion. It was a powerful testimony. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, they took the vote. The bill passed, this bill that forces churches to cover abortion in their insurance. And he laid his head down on his desk and he wept openly, along with several other of the representatives that were on the House floor, because they knew what that meant for the church. And I remember looking up to the galleries. So the galleries are these places where citizens can sit and watch the vote. And I thought to myself, as I looked up at the galleries, how empty they were. There was nobody sitting up there. Nobody from the church was witnessing even what had just taken place. And to me, it was one of the most egregious things you can think of, the church being forced to pay for abortion. And so from that moment on, I determined in my heart that I was going to get involved in this pro-life movement. And I was going to show the church that this isn't just something that's out in the world. This impacts us. Mm-hmm. So I began giving sermons on pro-life issues and sharing with people that we needed to come out of this deep slumber we seem to be in. Now, there are a lot of churches that are very activated in the pro-life movement. I recognize that there are a lot of people that are very interested in this topic, that are working very, very hard. But I would say that there's a larger majority of churches that are not as activated as they should be. And our challenge in this area is that we need to get people to understand that this isn't just an issue of the world. In fact, 1 in 4 women in the United States will have an abortion by the age of 45. That's a startling statistic. Mm-hmm. And if 1 in 4 women are going to have an abortion by the age of 45, then some of those women are sitting in our churches today. And I can tell you, in my ministry with women, so I teach in the jails, I teach in the prisons, I meet with homeless women, because having come out of homelessness, this is a special area of interest for me. I encounter women all the time that have had an abortion but are faithful attenders of church. And how does that happen? And how does it happen that they have boyfriends or even husbands that come into agreement with those abortions? So I wanted the church to understand that this was something that impacted them as well. So I began ending my sermons with kind of an unusual altar call. And that altar call was a series of questions. And I would ask the people in the church, as I asked each question, if it applied to them, to please stand up. And I would ask questions like, if you've had a friend that's had an abortion, to please stand up. If you've talked to someone in church that's had an abortion, to stand up. If you've had a family member or a cousin or an uncle or an aunt or even a sister or brother that's had that's participated in abortion, to please stand up. And by the time I would end with the last question, saying, if you're brave enough to, you don't have to if you don't want to, but if you've had an abortion, if you would like to stand up, please stand up. Everybody in the church is standing. And as they were standing, I would then share with them that we each represent a loss for the kingdom of God. Every child that has been aborted is a loss for the kingdom of God. Their gifts are a loss to us. Their lives are a loss to us. The things that God would have, could have done through them are a loss to the body of Christ. And typically, at the end of that altar call, I have dozens of people at the front asking for prayer. And it's incredibly powerful because you begin to look around and see that this is not just an issue for the world. This is an issue for our family, our church family. That's right. We need to stand beside these men and women who are sitting in our church pews today that may be contemplating this decision. And we need to wrap our arms around them. And like I was that girl that wasn't talked to in church, we need to be the ones reaching out to those that could be in those circumstances. And they need to feel safe enough to talk to us so that we can help.
Pastor Kelly, would you pray for the church with regards to this and these matters that you just mentioned? Because again, there is a need for the church to be set on fire with a passion to be about what God has called us as the church to do insofar as getting involved with standing for life. Would you pray for the church in that way?
Amen. So, Lord, as much as we weep for the children that have been lost to the body of Christ, I can't imagine the hurt that it causes to your heart. These are your babies. And, Lord, I pray that everyone that is hearing this broadcast today, that you would not only open their ears, but their hearts, to break for that which breaks your heart, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would understand that life is so incredibly valuable, that we are to be called upon to lay ours down for others. Help us, Lord, to rise up as the powerful family that you have created us to be, to advocate for life. In a pagan world that is filled with darkness and death, let us be your light. Let us, through the gifts of salvation and mercy and grace, be something that is beyond compare, something so enormous that the people that see us want what we have, and that is to be part of your family. Not just subject to a king, but part of a family. Part of a family, brethren, son and daughter of the Most High God. I pray that everyone out there would be infused with your power to live a life that is so filled with who you are that others want all of that too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you for the opportunity you give us to be your hands and feet in the world. And Lord, thank you for the many ways in which your hand moved mightily in Pastor Kelly's life, and the many ways you move in the lives of so many people in this world to draw them to yourself. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day for each of us to be an available vessel, because there's so much work you want to be done, and you use your church to get it done. We are called to be your hands and feet. Help us to live as available vessels today and every day more fully as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Kelly, thank you so much for being with us, and just keep up the great works being God's vessel and God's representative. So thanks again. Thanks again for being with us today. All right.
Thank you.
And we'd invite every single listener, please pray much for Pastor Kelly. She continues to be the servant of the Lord. She is in her circles of influence. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save you and make you brand new, today is a good day Today is a great day to make that step. If you'd like to make that step of giving your life to Jesus Christ today, we invite you, would you from your heart pray this prayer and fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord? Remember, He's longing for you to be saved and to be a part of His family as well. If you want to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now and commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray and seek you in prayer every day. Help me to obey you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we're very much wanting to connect, to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch with us. We would like to be in touch with you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And again, please pray much for Pastor Kelly Payne as she continues to be a ambassador for the kingdom of God and for the cause of life. I expect, would very much appreciate your prayers. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.